Where am I? What happened?
You were injured when the elemental exploded. Captain Thackeray brought you here personally. You've been unconscious for 3 days. You had lots of visitors. Villagers you rescued, some seraph, and a nervous, shady-looking character who came by every day, but wouldn't give his name.
That'd be my friend Quinn. You might want to check your supply cabinets. I'll find out what he wanted once I'm fully recovered. What should I do now?
Fresh air and exercise are the best medicine. The goddess Duena helped you. Perhaps you could help others?
Thanks, I will. And thanks for taking such good care of me.
Bless you. You'll find plenty to do out in the valley. May Duena protect you.
Welcome back, everyone, to this 51st episode of Guildcast. I'm your host, Sean, and with me once again is Ruby. How you doing, Ruby?
Hey, pretty well. This is kind of an exciting episode.
I know. It hasn't been 2 months since the last time.
It's exciting for that, too.
Yeah, we have a lot to talk about, which is kind of cool. You know, they've been doing some little regular news here and there. The ArenaNet blog has been having some regular updates, which is always a good thing. You know, we had the drought for a while, the infamous drought.
It hurts.
Yeah. It's drought version 2.0, because the first one was from 2007 to 2010.
So am I capping an elite from this one, too?
Yeah, I think you are. I think, okay. Yeah, I think that's how that works. Awesome. But what we're going to talk about, of course, there's the cinematics, where they gave some more details on cinematics, how they work, and they played some, kind of character interaction cinematics, which I have an opinion on. And and then we have the G-Star stuff, because G-Star was in Korea just, I think, last week, was it? Yeah, it was last week. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, NCSoft always has a huge, huge presence at G-Star, and this year they showed Guild Wars 2 for the first time. Of course, the year I don't go, they, you know, do that. So.
Yeah, they were waiting.
Yeah, last year it was all about Blade and Soul and Lineage. They had a new expansion, and there was some other NCSoft thing I'd never even heard of before. But, yeah, that was what it was all about last year. But this year it was pretty much all about Guild Wars 2. So that's good news. You know, it's a lot more of a global presence than a lot of games that are launching.
I'm glad to see that.
Yeah, definitely cool. Okay, so let's get into this first little bit here. Let's talk about the cinematics first, because I think these are pretty interesting. For anyone who hasn't seen them, we'll have a link in the show notes. And I did play at the beginning there. I played a little bit from one of the cinematics, a little bit of the audio. So these cinematics, it seems like they're trying to do something a little different. They have the two characters are kind of brought out of the scene, you know, and then you have, like, concept art in the background or something, and then but you have the two characters and they're talking, and in between them is their dialogue instead of at the bottom like in Guild Wars 1. So you can sit there and you watch them and they're interacting with each other, and I think the big thing here is the facial kind of recognition of what's going on, what's being said.
You know,
like when somebody says something nice, they kind of smile, and when somebody says something mean, they, you know, scowl a little bit. And this whole blog post at ArenaNet, their blog, it kind of goes into detail how all that was done, and with the voice and the expressions and how they work together. My thing, though, there's always that but, I understand it's different, and I understand that it's not completely different, because, like, Vindictus does this, and I think Fire Emblem does this, but it kind of takes you out of the immersion, and it puts you in this separate thing where these people are having a conversation, and they're not even looking at each other. That drives me nuts. It's like Saturday Night Live when they look off the off in the distance and they're reading the cue cards. You know, it's so distracting, and I don't know if it's just the way these were set up, I imagine it was done, I mean, obviously it was done on purpose, but I imagine it was done to try to, you don't want the two to be looking like they're just talking to each other, like straight, you know, you just see their one arm and their one leg and they're, you know, straight looking at each other and they're talking to each other. You want a little bit of an angle so that you can see their movements and you can see them when they're interacting and, you know, walking back and forth from foot to foot like they have to go to the bathroom. And
thank you.
But I think that that's, I understand that's why they did that. It's just, it's really distracting. I don't know. What did you think?
I think I didn't notice it until you said something, so thanks for that. Now I'm looking at this cinematic between the priestess of Duena and the warrior who really has to pee.
Yeah.
And they're like at a 45-degree angle from one another.
Well, it actually, what's even worse, I think, is the warrior kind of looks like he is looking at her, but the priestess isn't. Like, she's the one looking at, like, she's like, I cannot look at you. You are a mere warrior. But you know what I mean? Like, it's...
He is. Oh, my. Yeah. I'm watching this now. And she's... Okay, you know what? Okay, here it is. She's a writ, and she's blind.
What?
I'm not good at thinking on my feet. I'm just like, maybe she's blind and doesn't really know. Okay, I guess it's... man, somebody's got to tell him where the bathroom is. That's more distracting for me. I'm like, what is he do? Maybe his armor's uncomfortable.
It probably
is. But she's kind of staring at the floor.
But she's like looking over his shoulder, like just kind of off to the distance.
Yeah, she is. She's very distracted by the glare off of his giant shoulder piece. That's all I can figure. But here's a question for you. Are your perceptions and expectations and preferences for a cinematic conversation, have they been changed recently? Like in the past weekend or so?
Have your
preferences changed at all?
Are you forcing me to answer that question? Force?
I'm forced, yes. I am using... force.
Well, okay. I think that's a good question. I think not only that, you know, going further than that, is my view of this cinematic tainted by every other MMO cinematic, you know, and one that's recent that's a contender for the attention that Guild Wars 2 will receive next year.
Mm-hmm. This is a difficult conversation to have.
But it's fun.
Yes.
I think on one hand, yeah, it's definitely been tainted. The conversations we see in other games, let's take for instance, I don't know, some BioWare games, like Dragon Age or Mass Effect or things like
BioWare
that.
BioWare games, yeah, that's a good example.
Just, you know, out of the blue.
Right.
The way they do it, they kind of switch camera angles, you know, you get an over-the-shoulder shot, you get a side view, you get, you know, you get different things while the conversation's going on, and I think that those work the best. Because it's like a movie. You know, in a movie, you don't have two people standing directly, you know, like opposite of each other, just
right.
having a conversation. So I always thought that those worked the best. I think they're the most, I don't know, they're just what we're used to, I guess. So yeah, I would definitely say that taints the way I view this. But at the same time, yes, I definitely see how they're trying to do something different. They're trying to, you know, they bring that background where they have kind of like a widescreen view of concept art, like in the background, and it's moving and everything, and it's not to be distracting. I think one funny thing that I'll miss, though, is the cinematics in Guild Wars 1 when the minions, you know, they want to stand
right
in front of the camera, and they scratch themselves and everything, and somebody's like, hey, Bone Minion, get out of the way.
Get out of the way.
And he's like, what? Oh.
I have this beautiful screenshot, and I'll have to see if I can find it. We should use it for this cast. It's a cutscene in which somebody had used a summoning stone, and it was an undead, shoot, what are they called? You know, just the skeleton warriors.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And in the cutscene, he is literally standing over the main... he's standing behind the main character, facing the camera, grinning, like the big skull face, grinning over his shoulder, right at the camera.
Yeah.
Like, hi, Mom!
he's all about that.
He's the drunken frat boy on the live news report.
Yeah.
You know who I'm talking about? Yeah,
the
that's
one that's
him.
In the back, and he's like, "Hey, is this live?"
Yeah.
Hey. And the guy's like, "We're live, sir." Yeah, I think. I mean, people always made fun of that. You know, that part of, I mean, not always, but there were a lot of people who made fun of the Guild Wars cinematics where the bony minions would stand there. But I've seen that in other games too, you know, BioWare games. I've seen that where the camera angle and the place where the character's standing, like the camera angle goes there, but the character happens to be standing there. And this happened in Guild Wars 1 too. And so all of a sudden, you know, you have this giant face right in front of your camera.
Yes, that was terrifying.
That happened actually in Fallout. I think we talked about this before. Maybe it was on Massively Speaking. I'm getting old. In Fallout New Vegas, actually all the Fallout games, and a lot of all Bethesda kind of Oblivion type games, there will be really awkward cinematics like that, or conversations where you talk to someone and maybe they were supposed to get out of the chair and turn and face you and talk to you, but they haven't, so they're still sitting in the chair and you're talking in the back of their head as their head is turned, but they can't see you, and it's, you know what I mean? Like you're talking in the back of their head and they're,
yeah.
And it's really awkward. So I think I think you'll find that in a lot of games, which might be why ArenaNet decided to do it like this. It's more of a controlled environment. You know, where you can get the two, and they can fidget all they want, but at least you're not, you know, looking at the back of their head.
Right, and there's not a bone minion, like, bisecting your character.
Yeah.
Well, the two different styles of cutscenes that we're talking about, and there are two things here, they're very different. I think the style that we've been talking about that's not the Guild Wars style is cool. I mean, I really think it's neat because it doesn't pull you out of the game. It doesn't bring everything to a screeching halt. It looks like part of the game. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But this, I mean, this is a very deliberate stop for a second and catch you up with what's going on in the most gorgeous way possible.
Yeah.
So I mean, I love it. It's very different, but I like it. And I can appreciate how far the cutscenes have come in the past years. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of the Great Northern Wall, and this is just such, I mean, this is from one extreme to the other, in the cutscene where an NPC goes running to the wall to see that the char are coming after you make your run back to the wall.
Yeah.
And do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. He runs up to the wall, and the wall is higher than his head.
Yeah, yeah.
And he, like, smashes his face into the wall, and he's like, "Sir, they're coming!" And you're going, "How can you possibly see that?"
I think it's things like that. I'm sure it's things like that. Things that they can't control where the environment mixes with the cinematic and the characters. And they're just like, yeah, let's just do this completely different.
Yeah, that gives me such an appreciation for this.
Yeah.
And I mean, and I feel like we're talking over these cutscene styles and the ArenaNet guys are like, that wasn't even the point. The point was the animations and the facial expressions you got. But, and I do like the animations. I mean, you know, you think of cutscenes where they just kind of randomly wave your arms around, wave their arms around, and this is so much better.
Yeah. I think so, too. That was another thing in Guild Wars 1. You know, they would do random emotes while they were talking to you, and they would do, like, you know, they'd scratch or, you know, look the other way, like, look, you know, behind themselves, like, you know, while they're talking to you, and it's like, hey, I'm over here. Over here.
Hello.
Actually, I think I did a Guildcast Theater on that one time when the two characters were talking and the one was standing there and he's looking back and forth and the other guy goes, "Hey, are you even listening to me?"
I remember that.
Yeah,
I remember that a lot.
I was kind of poking fun at the fact that the characters look all around while they're standing there.
Well, they still do. And what's funny is that if a character's talking to you, not necessarily in a cutscene, but if a character's talking, if an NPC is talking to you and someone else runs up, he'll, like, just literally completely turn his back on you.
Yeah, yeah.
And go, "Oh, there's someone new here. Screw you."
He'll do that little turn shuffle thing that they do.
Yes. Yeah, this has, and I guess that all of these funny little things give me such an appreciation for this because it just completely cuts all that out of the picture.
Yeah. I guess that's true. I guess I've convinced myself and you've convinced me that this isn't so bad.
It's really not. Well, and two, you think about the facial expressions. I mean, the facial expressions were cool to me because, and I think I said this on Massively Speaking, in Guild Wars 1, and pretty much any MMO, you go up to an NPC and they're like, "Oh my gosh, the centaurs, they have my father," and they're roasting him on a spit.
Yeah.
you know, to eat him for dinner. And their faces, I mean, they're just standing there calmly, perfectly neutral.
Yeah, yeah.
So I have, and they're like, you know, you can see him right there, like, watching their father be roasted alive, and they're like, whatever. You know, I think, what do we want for dinner?
Yeah. And, you know, I think this brings up a good point. The concentrating on the facial expressions and all that is kind of a good idea. You know, they're taking you out of the scene. They're, all the distractions of the background, I mean, sure, they're not looking at each other, which is a distraction, but
They'll fix that.
Yeah. The distraction of the background isn't there, which I think is a big thing. In a game I played last weekend, there was a part where a guy was talking and he had a metal mask on his face. And while he's talking, you know, his jaw's going up and down, but the metal mask is stretching as he's talking. And I'm like, that's distracting. That can't happen.
It's like, a rubber mask. Yeah. You're talking about Terraria, right?
Yes.
Yes.
The cutscenes in Terraria.
In Terraria. Or Minecraft. Yeah, exactly. That kind of thing is just, they've just very neatly skirted all of that, and I really like it.
Yeah.
Now if we could just get the Priestess of Duena to come down off her high horse and look at the warrior.
Yeah, yeah. I just hope they're the way they're looking at each other, I hope it doesn't eventually turn into anything where, you know, the guy's like looking at the girl's shirt while he's talking, because that would be immersive and realistic. But
actually the place where I have it paused right now, that is exactly where he's staring.
Oh, jeez.
He's kind of got his head bowed and he's rubbing the back of his neck, and that's his line of sight. And
to be fair,
she's about to fall out of that dress.
Doing the rub the back of the neck trick. Yeah, I know that one. Where you're like, or you're like, you're scratching your forehead, you know?
Wait, that's a thing?
Yeah, you're like, oh man, my forehead itches. I need to cover my eyes while I look down. Wait, no, I just made that up just now. I've never done that.
Hold on. Is that a thing?
I'm kidding.
Okay. Holy crap, how did I never know this?
No, but I'm sure he, you know, he's a warrior, he's a big guy, he's all like, you know, he's like a frat guy, you know, he's hanging with his buds, and he's like, you know, they teach each other that kind of stuff, you know. He's like, hey, if you really want to get a good look, you act like you're scratching the back of your head, it kind of, you know, you look down a little bit.
Oh my gosh. Well, no? But she got her revenge. He's been laying there unconscious and wounded for 3 days.
Oh, that's
and
true.
He gets up and she's immediately like, the best thing for you is exercise. Get back out into battle. Go, go. I always love that.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think I'm done being a pig for a little bit, so let's go on to this next little bit here. This is about the G-Star Conventions demo. Now, they did have it playable there. And then when they got back, well, actually, I guess it was before they went. They had a, it was before they went. They had a blog about the demo and what to expect and all that kind of stuff. So it covers several different topics. There's this actually talks about the creation of the demo itself, because it's not like, you know, when they do demos like this at events, they don't just let you play the game. They don't just bring the game and go here. So they have to like kind of craft a specific demo for that certain event. You know, that's so that you don't end up finding out things that you're not supposed to find out, like there's a Mesmer class or something, you know. I mean, so they break it down here. They've also got character creation, customization, UI improvements, learning new skills, which is all about weapon skills. Let's talk about that part, though. I think that's
really, please, a
very interesting part. So go ahead and kind of let us know what that's all about.
All right. Well, weapon skills are still pretty much what we knew. You unlock skills with your weapon by using it through practice, which is a system that I'm absolutely crazy about because it just makes so much sense. I mean, you're never going to pick up a sword and be able to do some kind of fancy figure eight lopping off the heads of nine people thing right away.
You may not be able to.
Okay. Well, people that aren't you can't do that. Uh-huh. And I guess there's a disclaimer here that I don't know if that's a legitimate skill in Guild Wars 2. I didn't just like reveal something, so settle down. But you pick it up and you've got like your basic sword skills. And then you use it and gradually unlock more skills, which is just the coolest thing in the world to me. Now, you also have, and those are just basic weapon skills, but you also have healing, utility, and elite skills, which now do not work under that system, which makes sense, again, because the healing skills, if you unlocked healing skills through use? Would it be just like you only have crappy skills to throw down until you unlock better stuff? Or do you have like, do you like throw down a ground targeted heal before you've learned it well and it accidentally benefits the enemy instead?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's not a good way to make it work the same way that weapon skills do. So they have skill points now, which we're familiar with. Let's see. You can... I'm just going to read this verbatim because he said it better than I can. Skill points can be acquired by undertaking a skill challenge. There are 200 skill challenges in the game, and they range from defeating tough opponents to answering riddles to drinking a particularly potent drink. Now, how cool is that?
Yeah, that sounds...
I love it.
That sounds really good.
And they take a... It's not just one skill point per skill. They take a variable amount, so I guess like the really cool stuff, you have to save up your skill points. So I am absolutely, absolutely crazy about this. He says some players may recognize skill challenges as being similar to a system that they talked about a while back called profession challenges, and those are the same. In the past, profession challenges were specific to a particular profession, that's hard to say, and were used to acquire traits. And that's kind of what the system is.
Now, do you know if they've changed it, or did they change it to this after feedback, or is this something that they just never revealed to us?
I think this is something that they've probably been working on for a while and just never said anything, because you can't really come up with this kind of a system on the spur of a moment and be like,
well,
hey, let's
can't.
Do this. Okay, you have to stop that.
I do that to my wife all the time. She tells me something, and I said, or is it? She's like, stop.
And then she punches you in the head, and that's just a day in the life in the Schuster household.
That's right.
So, boy, I can't wait until you start, like, doing all this smart-ass stuff when she's in labor. I'm going to need video of that.
I know better than that already.
Because, man, it's like a room full of sharp objects and heavy things. That's going to be a good time.
That's true.
Okay, so... Anyway, they have, but this is something that I think they've been working on, and they've tweaked what they already have. They tweaked what they already had. I'm sorry, past tense. He said, we decided this was better suited to skill acquisition than something as profession-specific as traits. So. And they have, the trait system is, he says they're going to talk about the new trait system in an upcoming blog post.
Oh, okay. So.
We'll hear about those changes, but this is more of a general thing now. Yeah. And I absolutely love it.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's a really good idea. Yeah. I don't know if I've ever said this, but I can't wait to play Guild Wars 2.
Really? Huh.
Yeah, it's this thing. I just thought of it. It's just, man.
Well, that's new.
Yeah.
You should like do a podcast about it. No, I think that would be neat. You should think about that.
Yeah. Might take off. Okay, so was there any other kind of point from this blog post that you wanted to talk about? Because I think a lot of it was just mainly telling how they built the demo itself, right?
Yeah, the skills were the big cool thing.
Yeah, I mean, because they're talking about customization, which we already knew about, although they do have a cool video in there. UI improvements, now this is another thing that, you know, they've kind of improved since the last demo we've seen, which I think is cool. What do you think about, I know a lot of people, when they look at these weapon skills and the kind of screenshot of all the skills together, a lot of people are saying it seems daunting. Like, it's like, holy crap, how am I going to do all this? But what do you think about that?
Oh, I don't think they're going to throw 100% of it at you right from the start. I think you're going to kind of learn as you go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it's intimidating at all. I mean, you're going to start... Actually, let me take that back. If you go in to a demo, and for the very first time you jump into a level 40-something character,
yeah,
I can absolutely see how you'd walk away going, this is too much. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you start from scratch like it's intended to, and like you're going to in the real game, I don't think it's going to be any problem whatsoever. Because they'll ease you into it.
That's a tricky thing about demos. You know, you a lot of times demos will either let you start from the beginning, but that's stuff that you're going to see, you know, when you get the game.
Right.
And they also want you to be able to see, you know, what you can expect later on down the line. But once you do that, it's like you can't take it all in, and it's kind of overwhelming. So, yeah, I can see.
And actually, let me give you a good example of that. When I was at PAX Prime, that was the last time I played an elementalist, and I played a higher-level elementalist. So she had four different weapons. I mean, this was when I started playing her. She had four different weapons. Every weapon had its own skill set. And I had four different elements to work with. And every time you switched elements, it gave you a new skill set. Hmm. And that was for each weapon. That's a little much. So, yeah, if you jump in like that, oh my gosh, how are you ever going to figure this out?
But did you press 6? That's the important question.
All the time. You know what? Okay. I set a brick on that button.
That's what I should have done.
No, I needed it, man. I was bad.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and get into our email.
Yes.
Little stash of email we have here. Some of these, let's see, they're not too bad. One of the latest here is from 2 weeks ago. It's not too bad. It says, "Hey, Sean and Ruby, I've been playing MMOs for the last 9 years, which I might add is half my life." Whoa, I feel old now.
Oh my gosh.
And I've always enjoyed playing Ranger / Hunter type characters. But in Guild Wars 2, I feel like Rangers just seem lackluster, which is why I think I'll be playing a short bow / double daggers thief. In show 50, you mentioned that a lot of players wanted to play a Ranger without the pet. Do you think, or have any advice to these players? Should they stick it out, or is using a bow as a thief not a better and more exciting option? I think, first of all, I mean, I think this is a good point, but I think, you know, that's something we did talk about last time. But I think, first of all, we don't really know how they're going to do this. You know, what we're kind of basing our opinions on and experience is Guild Wars 1, where you could do that. You know, you could play... you could mix any two classes. You could be an elementalist with a pet if you wanted to, and you could have a bow if you wanted to, you know, if you put skills into that stuff. So, I mean, it's possible. It just wasn't a very effective system. I mean, you literally could play any of these two together, but it was always like, yeah, oh, that guy's playing an elementalist ranger. Oh, that's the new build, you know. I mean, it was like one of those, I mean, anybody who plays an elementalist is a noob anyway, right?
Hey.
Yeah. So I think it was just a lot of them didn't work, and there were ones that worked, always worked together better. So then everyone made a warrior monk, or everyone made a necromesmer or something, you know, and they just always worked together better like that. So I think maybe the way ArenaNet is doing it now is they want to make it so that everything is a viable option. But that said, I don't know how they're going to do the pet thing, because having a pet with any class was always a cool thing. Now, right here, Andrew is the one who wrote this. Andrew's question is more about a bow. You know, he wants to play that ranger-type character, but he doesn't like the way that the ranger looks right now. So he kind of actually wants to play a thief as a ranger, you know, as a ranged character. Mm-hmm. I would say with the way that the weapons are set up, it seems like you do have that option, where... just about every weapon, or every weapon type, is almost represented with every class, wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
So, I mean, you could probably... I mean, I know you can play a bowed thief, but, I mean, to play it as a ranger, to play your thief as a ranger, there are probably some good benefits to that, I would imagine.
I imagine so, but you have to take into account, too, that ArenaNet has beefed up the pets, and I think that was their response to what if you want to play a ranger without a pet, because pets stink. And they're like, okay, well, now they don't stink.
Well, yeah.
So maybe maybe that'll change. Give it a shot.
Yeah, kind of the opposite, looking for the opposite of that. Like, what if you want to play an elementalist with a pet? I mean,
too bad.
Because I'm kind of from that camp. You know, I want to play several... different characters, but I love pets in games, even though people are annoyed by them when they're brought along. But I really love playing pets, playing with pets in the games. Or maybe, I don't know, there's this other game called Star Wars The Old Republic, and I don't know if you've heard of it. Do I have to beat that out?
Maybe.
But they have companions. Every class has a companion. And it's not about pets. It's not about animals. It's about having a companion to join you. And every class has a different range of companions. That's kind of a BioWare thing anyway. But that's the kind of thing I would like to see here. You know, it's like, sure, you want to be an elementalist with a pet, but it doesn't necessarily have to be a pet. It could be a companion. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying Guild Wars 2 is going to have companions, because, you know, who knows. But I don't know. Have they? It seems like they've talked about something similar to that, kind of like City of Heroes.
Oh, sidekicking.
Sidekicking, that's what
it is.
Yeah,
but that's just if you bring a noob along.
Yeah, another player, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to play, and Ruby's going to be my pet. I'm going to make her run around and follow me. Wait.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Okay, so that's, yeah, that's not going to work.
No, I'm going to get in the punching line behind your wife.
So I think as far as a bow, though, you know, kind of we went off on a pet tangent, but I think as far as a bow, yeah, definitely, I would definitely play because that bow you pick up is going to have the same skills if you're a thief. Well, no, I guess that's not true, is it? If you're a thief or a ranger, yeah, they'll have different skills.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, there goes that theory.
Well, but that's kind of the thing, is that you're not going to know until you actually dive in and give it a shot.
Yeah.
So definitely, I mean, try the shortbow thief. I'm interested to hear and see how that works out.
Mm-hmm.
So, because I wonder, you know, you could cripple them. I don't know what the shortbow skills are for a thief, but, you know, do something to cripple them, then jump in quickly and finish them off. I mean, and that's just the most basic combination probably ever. I'm sure they've got some pretty cool things.
I also wonder about the opposite of this. I mean, we're really, you know, speculating deeply on this, but mm-hmm. I think that the opposite, kind of in the same style as the cinematics, where they're just going for one thing that works. Maybe with the classes, they're just going, you know what, there are people out there who just want to play a class, and they want to play that class to excel the way it's meant to be played,
uh-huh.
And if they want to play a bowed character, then they'll play a ranger. They can't play a thief and a ranger. You know, you can't have your cake and eat it too.
Right.
Maybe that's the approach they're taking now. You know, it's kind of like
a possible
League of Legends thing, you know, where if you want to play this type of character, you have to get this actual character who,
yeah,
you know,
this is who you have.
Yeah. Maybe that's what they're doing. I don't know. Interesting.
It's very possible.
Yeah. They're like, screw all you customized people with your choices and your options. We're giving you this, and you're going to like it.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't know. But again, you know, we'll just have to see once it launches. Or beta. I mean, beta's coming at the end of the year. Before the end of the year, right? They're still sticking by that, right?
No, I'm worried I'm not going to get in.
Well, yeah, I'm kind of...
That is the one thing that is the most stressed out I've gotten about this game.
Not
seriously.
Getting in beta.
Not getting in beta.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Every time I get tense, every time I think, and the clock is ticking, and I'm leaving town next week,
yeah.
And I'm like, you know, this is going to happen while you're gone.
Yeah.
And it just stresses me out.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh. But the Eighth Profession is supposed to be coming, too.
Yeah, so we still have the Eighth Profession and a beta starting in the next month and a half? Somewhere in there? That's crazy. And Christmas. Like, and you know, all these the winter holidays happening. I mean, oh, man.
We really have to talk about something else.
Well, I mean, do you think any of this
is going to... I'm, like, tapping my feet here.
Do you think any of this is going to get postponed, though? I mean, it seems like a lot.
You've got Winter's Day... I hate to say this because it sounds mean, and I don't mean it like that, but Winter's Day can't be that hard. They just do the same thing year after year. And I'm not complaining. I mean, people gripe and whine every year about, oh, this is the same thing we had last year. And to me, that's like saying, we had a Christmas tree last year. You know, let's get a Christmas chair this year.
Hey, that's a good idea.
Well, I guess. You know, or a Christmas umbrella. Why do we have to have a Christmas tree every year? To me, it's a tradition. But it's, you know, recycled content makes it easier. I'm sure whatever the new costumes are have already been designed. I'm sure the hats have been designed. So that's probably out of the way.
It's okay. It's okay, Ruby.
So we have Beta, and maybe the Eighth Profession won't make it by 2012 or 2011.
Yeah, because that's the thing. They haven't promised that for
right,
the end of the
year.
But
they did reiterate in the recent earnings call, they did reiterate that there's going to be a very small closed beta in 2011.
Yeah, by the end of the year. And that's that kind of made people go nuts.
That was crazy.
I mean, they could do it. They could invite five people and call it a beta, so who knows?
My gosh. You
know? So, I don't know. Anyway, let's go on to the next email here.
Yes.
This one is from Cian. I'm going to say Cian because it's S-E-A-N. It says, "Hey, Sean Ruby, let me start off by saying that I love Game Breaker, and Gary Gannon is always enjoyable to watch slash listen to. And I do enjoy seeing you guys on Twimo, which is this week in MMO. The idea of a Guild Wars 2 show is fantastic because I guarantee you I would watch it, even more so with you, with it being you two. However," there's always a however.
Uh-oh.
"The idea of it replacing Guildcast makes me sad, even if it does make sense. The reason I say this is because you mentioned Gary Gannon would become a sort of third host slash director on the show. I feel like this will take away from the more laid-back, super-fan-oriented feel and become a formal discussion about the game. The banter and the sidetracking are part of the reason I love Guildcast so much, and I'd hate to see you become more of a streamlined, information-only kind of show. Anyway, I'm just curious how you two feel about the show's evolution. Sincerely, Cian." And the reason I say that is because at the end here, he puts, "P.S. Sean learned to spell Sean." But he puts Cian.
Well, he spelled it wrong. Okay, I can see where he's coming from, but it's still us.
This is true. And this is something that, you know, you and I and Gary have talked about. We actually have meetings. We have another one coming up next week, kind of discussing how we're going to do all this. So it hasn't been set in stone yet. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, Gary, part of the thing about going over to Game Breaker is, you know, doing Gary's format. And Gary's format is very informative. It's very kind of hit the main topics, you know, get the opinion out there, and not really sit around like we do and just kind of BS and talk about our, families and stuff like that. And it's kind of like we're in talks still, you know, to kind of find a compromise there. I don't mind doing it more as an informative show. That's something that Guildcast started as, you know. Guildcast started as just me kind of reading the news, you know, which I don't want to go back to, but I think that with our, you know, with the experience that we have doing this and the information that we can get from Gary's side, you know, being as a kind of a more straightforward information thing, I think it'll work well together. Because sometimes we are a little light on the information. I mean, we talk about things, but we don't know every tiny little thing about, you know, about this stuff. So I think it might actually work better as far as if you really want to actually learn something from a show, from a Guildcast show. But we're still going to be entertaining. I mean, I'm still going to be a smart-ass pig, you know. I mean, I can't,
woohoo!
Can't get
well,
rid of that.
And that's the thing. You've seen us, obviously he's seen us both on Twimo. And it's still, I mean, you know, we don't turn into boring talking heads. Don't contradict that, anybody. Please, thank you. I mean, we're both still us, so I don't think you're going to lose what you love about Guildcast. And this isn't replacing Guildcast. This is Guildcast. I mean,
yeah. I think
you just have to look at us now.
It's the evolution of Guildcast. And, I mean, there will still be the audio thing, you know. That will still be there. So it will just kind of be an extra branch, I guess. Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, again, we don't have anything set in stone, you know. We're probably going to not even start this until next month. Anyway, so
yeah.
Who knows?
But it'll be okay.
Yeah, thanks for the email, though, Cian. I always appreciate you writing in, Cian.
There you go. I gotta say it again. You are terrible.
Okay. Next one. This is from, let's see, they sent two emails. Second one telling their name. Their name is Kale. Okay, now that I got that established, let me check out the
All
email.
Right.
Okay. So Kale writes in and says, "Hey, Sean Ruby. Hey guys, I just want to say I love your show, and I'm a longtime listener from the first Guildcast. Side note, I miss Guildcast Theater, and even having a dervish main, we all need more dervishes."
We need more dervishes.
A little reference to some Guildcast theater. Anyway, for speculation only, do you think things like Winter's Day or even our beloved demented Mad King Thorn will still play a major change in scene as far as fun little side quests? And he says, ew, I said the Q word. As much fun as the current quests are, I am curious as to how they can tie them into a persistent world, let alone tie them into the Char, who have no gods. The Savari, who could just take the holidays and run with it. The Asura, I'm a little torn on, because they could either invent fun things or just be kind of like Scrooges, like, bah, holidays are stupid. And then there's the Norn, who I think, like any celebration, will celebrate it in Norn fashion with beer and punching.
Yes!
So I would love to hear your thoughts on this. And just to throw in some cookies for the final class, the Queen in the books already claims to use Mesmer magic. Yes, that's true.
Yep.
That is not to say the Mesmer is the title of the class, but it sounded more like it was just a style and part of something. Of something greater. To be able to do what she could do in the books, even partially or aesthetically, could be fun. I guess getting to that part first, yeah, definitely. That's one of the reasons we keep saying, yeah, it's got to be a Mesmer. You know, they say it in the books. Remember when they said Necromancer in the very first book, mm-hmm. Ghost of Ascalon? We're like, yeah, it's got to be. And then, sure enough, they revealed
it. And everybody lost their minds.
Yeah, including me.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's something we'll have to wait and see.
Yes.
Maybe they're not going to call it a Mesmer. That's still a very good possibility. But I hope it's something to do with that type of mechanic.
You hope it's mesmerific.
Yes, mesmerific, I do.
Mm-hmm. Yep. As far as parties, ArenaNet has already said they love them some parties. Hmm. So we're going to have, I don't know if Winter's Day in its current incarnation, will still exist.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think from a lore perspective, the Six aren't really a factor. They're not as much of a factor in Guild Wars 2. So the big fight between Dwaina and Grenth, I mean, you know, in Winter's Day, you've got the avatar of Dwaina and the avatar of Grenth. They show up, mm-hmm. and they're not going to be showing up in Guild Wars 2. That makes me sad.
Yeah.
Let's see, what else? Halloween has, right now, the fight between Palawa Joko and the Mad King Thorn is kind of, it's escalating, and I feel like there's, you know, there's a crescendo coming. Maybe it'll be next year, I don't know. But Palawa Joko, as we understand it, I think, is going to become a pretty big presence in Alona. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there's a big showdown with the Mad King coming. So even Halloween 250 years from now, I can't imagine that it's going to be all about the Mad King trying to come back to the corporeal world. Because I think in 250 years that already will have happened and ceased to be a thing.
Yeah.
So I think there are going to be parties. I think there will be holidays and celebrations. I don't think anything like what we know now, which kind of makes me sad.
Yeah. I'm sure they've thought of something just because their parties and events are so successful. They're such a big deal in that game. It would be a mistake to, you know, leave it out. Maybe Mad King Thorn is going to be a god. maybe there will be like a temple to him, and you can go there.
Would
on
it
Halloween.
Be a big pumpkin?
Yeah.
Please say it'd be a big pumpkin.
Go inside the big pumpkin temple.
Totally.
Yeah. I don't know.
That would, and you've got to have hats. I mean.
Oh yeah.
Can't have Guild Wars 2 without hats.
That's true. All right. Well, so, let's see. Let's go on to this next. This is our last email here. This is from Simon. And he says, hi, Shaw and Ruby.
What?
I think he meant Sean. First off, would love to say, love the shows. My question is about Guild Wars 2 and dynamic events and how they work. I know as players, we can push them in a direction and not as the case may be, but in theory, you could go through the whole game and not get to the big boss fights because you are not on at the time that they're going on. And you can't push the event that far in the time that you have. I'm not saying that it's a big bad thing, just a concern about the whole dynamic part of the game. I understand everything will be reset in time, like every 6 months or as the bosses go down, but then you would just still have that problem. So What I wonder was, what is your view on the subject? Like I said, it's a concern, but I love the prospect of a new MMO being out that makes it a proper MMO game, unlike World of Warcraft. Hope this finds you well, Simon from the UK.
Wow, that's a pretty good point.
I think, you know, when they first started talking about the dynamic events, a lot of us, you know, journalists, I guess, were asking about this, saying, well, how are you going to do this? You know, when Rift... I don't know if you remember, Rift is a, you know, for anyone who doesn't know, it's a game by Trion, and it's a pretty popular game. You know, it came out earlier in the year, and it did fairly well. But it had a version several years ago that was called, they went through a few. One of them was Heroes of Talara. One was, I forgot what the original one was. But anyway, it actually was supposed to be a game just like this. We saw it at E3, I think, 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, and they showed us exactly what Guild Wars is doing, where it was like, you know, you go in a village, the dragon comes down, burns the village up, and you have to kind of do your thing to save the village, and if you don't, it's going to burn all the NPCs, you're not going to have any merchants, and then the dragon, then the bad guys can come in and take over the village, and then you don't have your village anymore. Tabula Rasa did that, too. Except without dragons. And
would have been cool if they'd had dragons.
Yeah, and also there was my mention of Tabula Rasa.
Yeah, I was ignoring that.
So this is something that other games have tried, and I'm not going to say that these games didn't work because of that, and I'm not saying Rift didn't work, but they changed that. They originally had that mechanic in there, and they changed it to be these rifts that open up and do these mini events like that, like more of a controlled environment. So why is it? Like, what is it that they figured out about this to make them change the game mechanics and say, yeah, that's not going to work, we're going to have to think of something completely different. And now Guild Wars 2 is actually going through with it, you know, that other games have talked about doing but never really did. Here Guild Wars 2 is going, yeah, we're going to do it this time, you know, and it's going to work. Mm-hmm. So what is it? I mean, is it that thing where, you know, you reset the boss every 6 months, or is it that thing about, you know, level, you know, getting people in there the same level and scaling? And I mean, what, you know, I don't know.
What's interesting to me, and I was thinking about this as you were talking, is that they changed the setup of events. They changed the timer. Well, and it's not on a timer. My gosh, I got in so much trouble for saying this. At the demos at conventions, they actually put it on a timer to make sure that everybody in their short amount of playtime would get to experience a big dynamic event if they wanted to. Mm-hmm. But I guess, and that's to allow for the fact that you only have 40 minutes of playtime. And I guess if you have spectacularly poor timing, you can play the game for months and months and never come across an event. But I think, like what you were saying, there were problems and there were downsides. And ArenaNet seems to feel like they have solved these problems.
Yeah.
Some of what we've seen before. And I don't know how. I mean, I have no clue what sort of infrastructure is in the background of the big dynamic events, like the Shatterer and To Quaddle the Sunless. I have no idea what the nuts and bolts of that are, but they seem to feel confident that it's all taken care of.
Yeah, and like Simon is saying here, he's explaining something that happened to Warhammer Online. He says, what if you're the only one in there? You know, you go to the event, and it happens to be that time when the event's going on, but you're the only one there. What are you going to do? You're not going to be able to do it yourself.
No, then it sucks to be you.
Yeah, that was the problem with Warhammer Online. You go in there, and it says, you know, there are like three waves to a public quest in Warhammer. The first wave is to kill, you know, 10 of these skeletons. So you kill them. The second wave is to kill 3 of these officers, these like skeleton officers. Well, you're okay. Like, well, by myself, maybe I can kill one. You know, I can kite this one around this rock and maybe I can get that one. So, you know, it takes a little bit of extra thinking, but you can do it. Well, then the third wave is this giant boss that steps on you in one, you know, and you're dead.
Ouch.
In one hit. So it's like you get all that way and you just can't, it's impossible. It's not just your play style. It's, you know, your playstyle got you that far, but that's it. There's a cap to it.
It's made so you can't.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly what Simon's saying. Like, what if you get, you know, and that's another thing. What if you get there and everyone cleared out everything else, but then the people who were clearing it out and got up to the boss, they had to go eat dinner, so they disconnected, so now you're left with a boss. You know what I mean?
And you have to run.
Yeah, you get there, and like you have to get by them, or I don't know. You know what I mean? Or there's something in your story to progress whatever it is, but like, what do you do at that point? It's just...
Well, I guess at that point, I mean, there's only in this environment, in this dynamic multiplayer environment, there's only so much you can do on the development side. And sometimes, I guess in these cases, it's not fun. And actually, it's funny because you're telling the story, and I came across that. I've been in that situation in a demo.
For Guild Wars 2?
Yes.
Oh.
I got the little thing that said new event nearby, and I went charging across. I mean, I was going to do this. I was excited. And I actually wrote about this, I think, in a Flameseeker Chronicles. My little Asura character, she comes flying over this rise, and, I mean, like, screeched to a halt, and I was banging on the S key. Because she comes flying over here. The beach is crawling with enemies. Tequaddle's out in the water. There's not a single other player character anywhere. And I wasted 20 minutes. I thought, okay, I'm going to see if I can do this. Surely I can do this. So I'm going around and I'm, you know, pulling individual enemies and trying to clear a little path to Tequaddle. And there's just dead NPCs everywhere. I mean, he's killed all the ally NPCs are dead. So it's literally only me. And eventually I had to say, this absolutely cannot be done. This is created, so it cannot be done. And I had to walk away. So I guess they're just, at some point, you have to say, I can't do this by myself. This is an enforced multiplayer environment, and I can either call for help in local or area chat, or I can just go do something else. And it's not an ideal situation, but again, there's only so much they can do on the development side, I think.
Yeah. I think one thing, going back to Rift, one thing that is exciting is when they do have events like that, they'll call out kind of on the screen or in local, general chat, and they'll say, like, oh, this is happening. This is happening right now. Like, this boss is in the area, and he's taking over. And, like, you'll just see people stop what they're doing and just go running to go do it.
I'd forgotten about that.
That's something that I really anticipate seeing in Guild Wars 2. You know, if they do that the same, you know, a similar way where they kind of make an announcement and you just see people, I mean, literally, I think that's so cool. And you never thought that that would actually work, but people just drop everything and go help out, you know. And I think maybe that's the solution. Maybe there's some way to call out and say, hey, this boss, you know, is doing this, or maybe there will be an in-game announcement saying, hey, this boss is here and he's not dead yet, you know, you guys want to go get him. So
if that's the case, that is wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. But again, we speculate, you know, 90% of the show is speculation. So,
at this point, yeah, definitely.
So we'll just have to wait and see on that. But yeah, I think that's probably about wraps it up for us. And I wanted to tell people something I forgot to mention at the beginning of the show, but this is actually our 6th anniversary today. Yay. As of the day we're releasing this, November 19th, 6th anniversary of Guildcast. Now, you could say it doesn't count because we were gone for a couple years there, but 6 years ago, on November 19th, 2005, I started Guildcast. And you can actually go on the site now on guildcast.com and you can go through the archives and listen to the very first episode. I don't recommend it because you'll make me more embarrassed than I am right now. No, it's you'll see a marked improvement in quality, hopefully. Yeah. Let's just say it's old. But yeah, 6 years. I mean, we've done a lot of crazy things. You know, we've had a lot of great hosts on the show. We've had a lot of great guests on the show. You know, I think that there have been some really big milestones. You know, we've had a meetup in San Francisco where we went, and that was actually for the end of the last time, you know, last time we ended the show. Mm-hmm. We had that big meetup, and we had a bunch of fans out there, and that was amazing. You know, one of the old hosts, my co-host Lady Sinea, and Cal was the PvP guy. They actually got married, and they recently had a child. So, I mean, this is amazing stuff to me. You know, this is they kind of met through Guild Wars and through Guild Cast, and now there's another human being in the world because of that. And that's that's crazy to think about. But you know, 6 years, we've been through some really crazy stuff, and I just want to thank everyone. Like, we actually, you know, we had someone today on the email saying he's listened since the original Guildcast. So, you know, everyone who's listened since the original, everyone who is new, I mean, even if this is your first episode, I just want to thank everyone for all the support over the years. I mean, it's really been incredible. It's, you know, starting Guildcast was a, you know, labor of love. It was just something I figured I wanted to try out sometime, and here I am. You know, my career now has to do with gaming because of Guildcast. So, I mean, this is all, you know, it all stems from Guildcast. So it's very cool stuff. So I thank all of you for listening, definitely. And we'll probably do another show before the video thing. It depends on, you know, if my wife has a baby or not, in between there,
needs to schedule this stuff better.
I know. What's up with that? Her due date is in about 2 weeks, so I imagine we won't have another show for a while. So cherish this one. Listen to it 6 or 7 times, you know. Mm-hmm. And if they release the Mesmer, this is what's going to happen. They're going to release the Mesmer information on the day that the baby comes, and I'm just going to name the baby Mesmer.
Mm-hmm. And I told you the Mesmer was coming.
Yeah, and then when my baby is, like, you know, 13, 14, they'll be like, so I get picked on a lot at school, and I was wondering, why did you name me Mesmer? And I'd be like, well, at the time, it seemed like a good idea. No, I won't do that. Although it would be pretty cool. So actually, someone did name their child something to do with Skyrim when that released. So, but I'm not going to.
Oh, my gosh.
Maybe Gwen. No. Okay. So, anyway. So, until next time, this is Sean.
I'm Ruby.
And we'll talk to you then.